theology right as far as our real source of salvation. And so since I'm not trying to prove anything and so on today, I'm just going to try to be a friend, and I'm just going to say what I feel like needs to be said, see? Praise God. But when I came into the church, I got the impression, I don't know whether they taught it, but they certainly left the impression on me that I was saved by my works. And in fact, when I sought for the Holy Ghost, they said, when you give up enough things, you'll get the Holy Ghost. And so I sure tried it. But I never was able to find that in the Bible, that I had to give up so much before I got the Holy Ghost and so on. In time, I discovered that I received the Holy Ghost not because I was good, but because He was good. Praise God. And that my faith had to rest in Him, not in me, because finally I was a failure to start with. And so, I live like that, and I live more under condemnation than I did with the victory. I would come to church so condemned. Until one day, riding a bus between Port Arthur and Baton Rouge, I came across Scripture in Romans 5:1. Being therefore justified by faith, we have peace with God. Praise God. And I began to see that I was justified by faith. This did not give me any license to sin. But many times before that, since I was under condemnation, I would get up and project that same condemnation into my congregation. Yes. I was guilty, guilty, guilty. I was not good enough. And so here I would come, and you're not good enough. And I would lay it on them. What did it do? It killed their faith.
Yes, you're right.
And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. If our hearts condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God. I was preaching to a congregation that was condemned and who had little or no faith. And this particular guilt that the moms and dads had, what did they do with it? If anything hurt you, you're going to get rid of it. You transfer it. So they transferred it to their children. And nothing that their kids could do was right. It's wrong. It's wrong. It's guilty. Guilty. Yeah. You never do anything right. No, 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 no. And so church wasn't anything to the children that they loved. It was an ill thing. It was a hurtful thing. It was associated with guilt feelings and so on. And so churches that I pastored had holes knocked in the bathroom walls, and they had carvings on the seats, and they had notes all over the place, and my young people were not joyous and happy. And nobody was joyous and happy. They were guilty, guilty, guilty.
Yes.
And had little faith.
Yes.
Praise God.
Yes. That's right.
If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Praise God.
Yes, yes, yes. Oh, yes.
He is all my righteousness. I stand complete in Him. I worship Him. He is all my righteousness. I stand complete in Him. I worship Him. He is all my righteousness. I stand complete in Him, I worship Him, I worship Him, Jesus Christ, our Lord. He is our righteousness. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Remain standing just for a bit. Now, I'm not talking about grace that can you stretch it so far until it becomes disgrace. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. Praise God. No, we don't believe that. I met one of a fellow that used to be with us. He really took to the doctrine of grace very strongly. And he got so much grace until after a while it's all right for him to drink wine. And along with other things too. We don't believe in that. Praise God. We do believe that justification by faith establishes a relationship between us and God. And when I get to heaven, it will not be because I deserve to go to heaven. I don't deserve to go to heaven now. I never will be good enough to go to heaven.
That's right.
But when I get to heaven, it will be because I know Him. And I have a living, live relationship with Him. I have walked in the light as He is in the light. I have had fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Praise God. Hallelujah. There can be no relationship unless it be upon the basis of honesty.
Yes.
Whether it be a husband and a wife or two men in business.
Yes.
And there can be no relationship between me and Jesus Christ unless I'm honest with Jesus Christ. Praise God.
Yes.
But when I live a repentant life, when I am reaching for Him, when I want Him, when I want to be like Him, then I have that relationship. I walk with Him, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses me. Praise God. I stand justified in Him. But it's not because I'm so good. It's because He is good. And then, since I position it that way, He is the one that gets the glory. He is the one that gets the honor. It saves me from smugness and Phariseeism that says, I do this and I do that. I don't smoke and I don't chew and I don't run with boys who do, and what about you? And so on. Praise God. Helps me to know that that He is my righteousness. I stand complete in Him. And that statement that Sister Morley wrote to me from the field so long ago, I never forget. Upon a life that I did not live, and upon a death that I did not die, I rest my whole eternity. Praise God. I rest it there. I have no other place to rest it. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Praise God. Praise God. I'm just simply saying this to you, young brethren, today. Don't let the devil saddle you with guilt that Jesus Christ already took care of.
Yeah.
Almighty God wants you to come to the pulpits free. Praise God. Free. Hallelujah. Thank God. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise God. You may be seated. Hallelujah. And the basic thing really is, folks, that there was a time, of course, when man was both spiritual and physical, and as such he had communion with God. But when he failed, he lost the spiritual side of his existence, and he gave the kingdom away that was his. And then there followed the long line of sin that came into the world. Our God knew that such a thing would happen, because there are no accidents and no surprises with Him. He dwells and resides always in the eternal present. And so He knew that. So He was the Lamb of God that was slain before the foundation of the world. In other words, He computed the sum cost of all lies and all curses and all adultery before the first man was made. And He decided that He would have enough righteousness to balance it out. He knew what the cost was going to be. He knew my name and your name. before ever there was a star in the sky. And then he made man, and man, of course, went into his sin. And then, of course, sin is a breach of the law, and it has a penalty affixed, and man had to pay for it. With it, there came sin. There, with sin came sickness. There came death. There came all kind of horrible things. And they came into the world. Jesus Christ came into this world to taste death for every man. And he came to bear the sin of every man. And he did that. He was born without an earthly father. He did not inherit the sin of Adam. He lived without sin. He did no sin. He could have gone to heaven any time he chose. He did not have to die because death had no claim on him. But he did die and paid a debt that he did not owe. He surrendered himself to the coldness of death and was taken down into the underworld where the spirits that had lived up until that time and died resided. Abraham was there and so on, and others, and they were prisoners and shut up unto faith, looking for the Lamb of God eventually who would come and pay that debt off and pay that price that was charged against them. And it was there. Nobody could pay it. And so they were incarcerated. But when Jesus came down, David said that it was impossible for him to be holden by death. This makes me to know that death made an attempt to hold him. He came down, and nobody knows what all went on in the courts of hell when Jesus Christ was there 3 days and three nights. If he could have been helped, if he could have not been set free, then of course everything would have been naught. And I think that every charge was brought against him, which included the charges that was brought against me, because that he took my place. He did not wait until I came to him, but he loved me at my worst. He need never have died at all if I could have loved him first. But he loved me like I was. And he died in my place. He could not take my part because I was wrong, but he did take my place. Praise God. And he stood for me. And he stood for every single sin that I had done. And since he stood in my place in the courts of hell, he had to give tally for me. And all of my sins that I was going to commit and so on, every one of them was brought up. And I can hear the charges as they filed were flung against him. The greatest and the blackest prosecuting attorney of hell mounted the stand against him. And friend, it was high court in hell. And I think of him when my name is called. J.T. Pugh, 5 million lives, so many thoughts of evil. There she is, all on the docket. And I think of that quiet voice. I'll pay it. And he paid it. He came to hell with mountains of righteousness. Mountains of it. He charged the angels with folly, and the heavens were not pure in his sight. He did no sin, and neither was guile found in his mouth. And his righteousness was transferred from him to me. And he didn't die a hero that day on Calvary. He didn't die a hero because he didn't die as a Christian. Jesus Christ died as a sinner. And he died in agony, in sweat, and hemorrhage. He didn't die exactly a heroic death because he died like I was supposed to die. And the mountains of righteousness melted away and was transferred into an account of a church to be. And we become his righteousness through faith in him. Righteousness moved from this side of the ledger to that side of the ledger, invested in blood and people like you and I. And that day the Bible said that he triumphed over principalities, that he exposed them openly, and that he made a show of them. And one rendition said he stunned them. He met them, friend, at the bar of judgment. And he paid the price. The Bible, another rendition, said he stripped them. He took, as it were, their clothes from their backs. Praise God, he stunned them. He paid it. And death tried to hold him and couldn't. Finally, the devil conceded and said, you may go. Maybe he said, just a minute. I want the keys. Praise God. I want the keys. Hallelujah. Glory. And he took them. And he let out Abraham, and he let out Isaac, and he let out Jacob. And he led captivity captive. I would like to have had spiritual eyes that day and seen that tornado rising up out of the bowels of the earth. And he led them to paradise and took them out of what was known as hell or the grave. He triumphed and he carried them to a place in what was known as Abraham's bosom or his country that he looked for so long. Praise God. Now then, God brought us into a kingdom of His dear Son. And in reality, I am not supposed to be charged with a bunch of junk. I am not supposed to be charged with sickness. I am not supposed to have to put up with so much stuff. Because the penalty of my sin, He took care of it. He paid it. That does not belong to me. I am in His kingdom. That debt is taken care of. But this dirty, low-down devil is illegal and does not recognize God's authority or a rightful position. And he tries to shove that junk back on you and on me. Almighty God, in this day and time, would like for us to count ourselves as forgiven and free and redeemed. Hallelujah. Almighty God also would like for us to stand in our rightful position. And God has left the church in this world to shove the devil off of his turf and say, you don't belong here. Get out of here. That has already been taken care of. Shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect. It is God that justifies. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory. Glory. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. And if the devil can, you can go back home and he can start dragging up a bunch of junk and accusing you and so on. It doesn't matter whether it's actual or real. Now, you might say, why in the world would you be talking about that? I talked to a young man, it's been not less than 2 months ago, and a long way from here, and he was so guilt-ridden, and he, in his young life, had looked at pornography books. It was a hard thing for him to pass a stand without his eye catching the girly magazines, you know. And he would feel so condemned about that. He would go and cry and so on. He never committed adultery. He did not give away his virtue. But the lust was there. Now, in being frank with you, I'm also being kind with you. Oh, look at me, shocked, because you don't have your glorified body yet. And I know what I'm talking about. And the least we can be is honest. I get so sick and tired of being sick and tired of people continuously trying to prove how good they are.
You're right.
How do you think God feels about that? You're not all that good. You're no count. You're a sinner saved by grace. Come off of it. Praise God. We need to quit playing games. Praise God. I'm not talking about going out and being sinful. The grace of God which bringeth salvation teaches us. I'm not talking about the grace that says it's okay to drink wine and junk like that. We're talking about that kind that teaches you to stay away from ungodliness and worldly lust. Perfecting holiness, praise God. But I found out that love is an extremely more motivating factor than fear. Fear is negative, love is positive. Praise God. And this young man preaches so well. He has one of the greatest futures. And yet, I took him out to breakfast and I said, I want some time with you. I had no idea what was going to come up or anything. But then, when it was really time to go, and I was going to let him out of the car, he turned to me in desperation and grabbed my arm. And he said, "I believe I can talk to you." And I said, "Well, I would hope so. It's a shame that many a time we don't know who we can talk to. Isn't that a shame? We ought to move to love. Move to help. We ought to care." Brother Williams, that was a tremendous sermon about encouragement. I tell you, that's great. And then he spelled that out. No big heinous commission of sin and so on, but the devil had his foot on him. Right, you're shoving him home down. You're guilty. You know, count. You're sorry. What happens? No faith. Because guilt kills his faith. No faith, no victory. Here he is groaning. Oh, God. What will he do when he pastors the church? He'll bring them under the same thing he's got inside of him. Guilt, 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 guilt. And moms and dads will duck their heads. And then in turn to their kids. Guilt, guilt, guilt. Women end up with ulcers. Kids hate the church. So on. Now look, my dear friend. I just happen to believe that this experience with God, that this experience with God ought to be an exhilarating, glorious, wonderful, happy thing. Now, I believe that. My wife and myself, here a while back, were sitting in a restaurant. There was a Pentecostal family came in. It was in a cafeteria. We didn't know the folks. They were just unmistakably Pentecostal. So neat, so nice. They looked so good in their dress. Man, wife, one or two children. They evidently were just passing through the city. They came and took their place and ate. They were the saddest looking people that I have ever seen in my life. Their faces were long and droll and sad and so on. I don't believe in that. Whom the Son has set free is free indeed. Praise God. I am happy in Him. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I believe in victory. Lots of victory. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Don't let the devil hang that on you. Praise God. If God has forgiven you, stand in His righteousness and His promises. Thank God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Glory to God. There is something about having a a service where people feel forgiven, where they feel redeemed, where that they believe that God is love and that is taken care of. I'm not talking about a bunch of people that are worldly and just everything goes. I'm not talking about that. But I am talking about redeemed people, happy people, victorious people. Praise God. Hallelujah. And it's so great to come into a church and sense that, you know. And you know what people really thirst for? It is to get this monkey off my back. I need relief. I've got pressure. I've got guilt. I've got fear. Dear Lord, can you help me? And so on. And they can sense when they come into a church sometime whether that possibility is there or not there. Now, Wednesday night, and I'll say this in closing. We have Bible study. And I just like to... I minister in a different way than what I used to. I'm not saying the way I used to minister was wrong, but I spend a lot of time, my time, back in the congregation. And I do teaching among them with my Bible and with a portable mic. Because that sometimes I ask myself the question, if Jesus Christ was here tonight and He was conducting this service, how would He go about it? And I can't feature Him looking around for the tallest rock and getting on it and saying, hear ye, you're about to hear the greatest oration that you've ever heard in your life. You just listen to me. You sit still when I will turn. I feature Him as coming among the people as close as He can get. And of pulling them in. And of meeting them up on their needs. And talking about things that relate to them. So in our service, we talk about losing your job. And we're going to pray, Brother So-and-so, get a job. Any of you folks know of an opening? Well, you see me, and so we'll take care of that, and so on. We have somebody that comes up for the first time that's got the baby with him tonight. Bring him up here. Let's take a look at him. And so on, they bring the baby up. No dignity. It is a loose... It's a people church. There's a lot of people don't have families anymore. They'd like to go somewhere where there's a family. They'd like to go somewhere where it's home. They'd like to go somewhere where they feel love, where people count. And the people that bring the baby up there, they might be so poor looking, you know. That don't matter. They're so important. Praise God. They're people! Hallelujah! People! And then when I start teaching, I like to come down there and talk and reach over and touch the folks. And as I teach, and this is a way of saying, look, this is no act that we're putting on tonight. I'm not here performing. I'm talking to you. I'm communicating with you. And I really mean what I'm saying. This means you. You're included, you know, what I'm saying. Stand there, you know, for a while and teach. Praise God. Minister to them. People. Love them. Care. Praise God. I have observed this, that people go where they get relief and where their needs are met. Praise God. And if they can go somewhere where they get help, praise God, they'll come. Hallelujah. Praise God. And on that Wednesday night, I taught. I usually teach Bible study Wednesday night. And I just like to be free in the Lord, and I like to dance, and I like to run. I am 59 years old, but that doesn't matter. I still enjoy it, praise God. And it's just something that I like to do. And because it is worship unto the Lord. It is a physical expression of myself to the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now, you can set your church services up on an old, cold, rigid thing. Firstly and secondly and thirdly, and if you want to, friend. But they got enough of that out there. They're not interested in that. And so after the service was over that night, there was a man there. He'd not been there before. And how did he give an altar call that night? Taught the Bible lesson straight through it. God bless the people were edified. And it was a work night, and I just said, stand, and we dismissed him. I got busy around there with something, and then I noticed that here was a strange man. Somebody brought up to the front, and they were praying for him. And he was weeping and seeking God. And in just a little while, he received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. His first time ever be in church. Somebody might say, his first time, you got a good case. Well, let's see if he did. So I've never heard of any bad cases of the Holy Ghost, but let's see what happens here. This man was so carried away, and the next day or so, he calls, and he said, I've got an apology to offer. He didn't know a thing about Pentecost. He said, what's that? Well, you know, I got the Holy Ghost the other night. Yeah. Well, I went up to visit my dad, and he's got cancer. The hospital, and I was so sorry for him, and I told him what had happened to me. And I got talking to him, and I asked him if he'd mind if I prayed for him, and he said he didn't. And I prayed for him, and he got the Holy Ghost. And he said, I know it shouldn't be that way. There's nobody there but just me, and there's no priest, no preacher, and said, just me. And said, I'm sorry, but said, it just happened. And so we arranged for Nathaniel to go over and get him baptized in the bathtub in Jesus' name. Well, that night, there was a fellow standing off to the side. He was another man. That was his first time. He was watching. When he saw me, he said, wait. He said, I got to talk to you. I said, fine. We went in the office, sat down. I said, what can I do to help you? He looked at me, a strange grown man. He said, I need help. He said, I saw you up there dancing tonight. And he said, dear God, I want to do that. He said, I'd like to be free. He said, praise God. I want to be free. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. Glory. Well, do you know what just a slam-bang good apostolic worship service does? When people worship and they are free in God, they're shouting and all witnesses, and it testifies to people. I don't always have to dance nor shout. I don't. But I tell you what happens if I don't exercise myself in God. That devil tries to shove me back in a corner. Sometimes I say, I want you to get off of my back. Whom the Son hath set free is free indeed. I claim my liberty in Jesus Christ. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. What? I had rather the people that I pastor dance and shout than fuss. I had rather they dance and shout than have problems. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory. Come on. Yeah. Praise God. Let's remain standing. Praise God. Praise God. Don't think for a minute, brethren, that your liberty in Jesus Christ, if it is real worship, I'm not talking about working people up. I don't like that. It's phony. and people can tell it.
Yeah.
I'm talking about that which rises up right out of the soul. Glory. Thank God. Hallelujah. The Lord wants you to take your liberty in Him. Not to be guilt-ridden. Not to be beaten down. To crowd the devil off of some turf that he's occupying in your life, and he has no right there. Jesus Christ took care of it. He paid it. Why should you be assessed that particular debt when He paid it Himself?
Yeah. Right.